you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Strong Female Characters. I'm Cher.
And I'm Courtney.
And our girl Preeti is still in recovery.
We've got a woe man down.
Yeah, and we kind of have two woe men down.
Man.
I know.
Cher is a broken winged baby bird right now.
I am.
If you've been following her Instagram stories, you might be down too. You might have fainted.
I know. You should actually be following my Instagram stories because I know people like disgusting things. So I've decided that my Instagram stories are going to be dedicated to documentary. I can't speak either. So, but that's not new to anybody.
She's on some prescription level ibuprofen right now. She's lost a lot
drugs.
Of blood.
You know what? Like I did lose a lot of blood. Like I didn't think about it at the time, but yeah. But anyway,
it literally looks like she's been shot in the hand.
It looks like I was bit by a shark, shot in the hand, and then like in a knife fight. It's really gross. But I, just as a PSA to everybody, and again, like I posted this on social just because, not to totally be gross, but because I really want everybody not to ever have to go through this themselves. Get one of those sponge on a sticks or brush on a sticks to wash your glasses because a drinking glass broke when I was washing it, and I ended up getting 6 stitches because of it. And it's gnarly as shit. And I'm lucky.
Did you, like, She-Hulk break the glass in
your hand? No, it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of like, just, you know, like thinking, but I'm washing the glass, and all of a sudden it just broke in my hand.
You're and a literal then, strong female character.
I literally am a strong female character. So that's our, you know, my little news. But we have other news that happened this week. What's some news?
Guess what? It was fucking cold this week.
It was so fucking cold.
So cold. My kids missed 3 days of school.
Because it was cold.
Because it was too cold for the children.
My dogs would not go out. That's how cold it was that they could not make it even halfway down the block. And they were like, fuck this, we'll hold it. And they didn't go to the bathroom for a full day because it was too cold for them.
I didn't take my garbage to the curb because it was just too cold. So I just have like 2 weeks worth of garbage just piled up.
And then the crazy part is it's going to be like 50 degrees in like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's 49 degrees right now, right here where I am.
Yeah, because global warming is not a real thing.
No, it's made up in lies and the fake news I've heard about on the televisions. Wind chills got as low as 56 degrees below zero.
That's bullshit.
That's nonsense. That's nonsensical. Flights were canceled. Businesses were closed. Mail delivery was suspended in 9 states. That whole thing about like in rain and sleet and snow, like, no, I don't need my mail. You stay home, mail carrier person. Oh. Then today it's 49 and it's supposed to be like 50 tomorrow. Like it's nuts. Now there was some cool like weather phenomenon stuff that we got to learn about. So like in Chicago where it was as cold as Antarctica, like it was bonkers. So in Chicago, residents reported hearing loud booms when the temperatures got like super low. And what they heard were frostquakes. So water trickles into the ground. And during winter, it expands. And when it expands, it releases like explosively. So it's like an earthquake, but it's ice instead of plates. It's so cold, the ground is just bursting with explosions.
Yeah, just know.
Just know. And then the Metrorail in Chicago, if you look at pictures, it's like the most metalist fuck thing I've ever seen. But the tracks were on fire so that the trains could actually like – my biggest fear is like a train just like freezing off and just like falling into the river. That's always how my mind works. That's yeah. like, I don't know how trains work. It's magic and voodoo and witchcraft. Apparently, like, they have it all figured out. Apparently, it's like, you know, technology.
Someone knows how it works. Just not you.
But what they do is they have gas pipes underground and like they light the flames. So that they can, like, yeah, so they can, like,
really
keep the tracks warm. Yeah.
That's
so
not how it works. Is that how it works for real?
I mean, that's not how trains move. This is for, specifically for, like, the fire on the, no.
Okay. I was like, that doesn't sound
trains.
Right.
That'd be silly. But yeah, it's to heat the tracks. So
tell you what, though, like, that picture, it was, I mean, yeah.
Now, it's not all, obviously, fun and games and throwing boiling water into the freezing air to make cool Insta videos. 21 people died as a result of this cold snap.
But I heard that there was also people left their dogs outside and their dogs froze to death, which I'm not saying that like people dying is horrible, but also.
Well, if you leave your dog outside, you're basically murdering your dog.
You're murdering your dog, and I hope you get like charges against you. Go on. I'm sorry.
Obviously, people who are homeless and in poor living conditions are incredibly vulnerable. And that's some people did absolutely incredibly kind things that weren't just good deeds, but were potentially life-saving. Candace Payne, who's a real estate developer in Chicago, and a group of Southside leaders that she's a part of, they secured hotel rooms for 100 people affected by homelessness, including kids and families. And so go Candace. What a Shiro right there.
Sorry, I don't have a hand to clap with.
She doesn't have a hand. It's gauzy.
Here's something else pretty shitty. So if there's one thing that the internet is good for, and by good, I mean horrible, besides bullying Nazis and cat videos, and don't at me because hashtag cats are assholes, hashtag dogs are all. Anyway, one thing that the internet is good for, it's pseudoscience. Leading to that, there's been another measles outbreak. Why? Because Gwyneth Paltrow and her goopy cult seem to think that owning a bunch of crystals and being vegan makes them more knowledgeable and qualified than actual medical professionals when it comes to stuff like medical advice. You know, like they'll decide to steam their vaginas or not vaccinate their children. And one of them you should not do. And one of them you definitely should be doing. And that's vaccinating your kids. So last year, there were 349 people affected by the measles outbreak, making it the second highest outbreak since 2000. And this is a completely preventable, you can prevent it with safe and effective measles vaccines, basically. Not every state has closed the loopholes allowing parents not to vaccinate their kids. And one of them is Jersey, where I live. And another one is New York, where I work. And I don't want to be walking around somewhere where the next zombie outbreak can happen. Thank you very much. Anyway, this virus is particularly dangerous to kids. It is known to cause rash and fever, but it can also cause death. And being in the room with somebody, even 2 hours after they have left, if someone was in that room that has measles, you can still get it 2 hours after they leave a room that you enter. That's how contagious measles is.
I didn't know. That's the craziest
it's
thing
It's insane.
Ever heard.
And nuts. It was like all but eradicated because of vaccines. And this is why the MMR vaccination, which is measles, mumps, right? And rubella, I believe. Yeah. This is why it's so important because it helps keep people that are too young to get the vaccine or too sick to get the vaccine healthy. And it's called herd immunity. And I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but you need something like 100 times for one unvaccinated person. You need over 100 vaccinated people to keep that from spreading to be a serious health crisis. So states require kids to be vaccinated before school, but parents can skip due to religious or health exemptions or by because of goop reasons by choice. Parents choosing not to vaccinate their kids can affect those who can't be vaccinated due to health reasons. So, for example, if someone doesn't have a spleen or had their spleen removed, their immune system is compromised and they are vulnerable to an illness, a very deadly illness like this, all because like Ashley with two E's decided like she didn't want to vaccinate her kid. And I know I don't have kids. I know it's easy for me to rant about this, but I have nieces. And I also live in the same world as people with kids. And I'm around kids all the time. And I know that like once you get a stroller in your hands, it's really easy to forget that the shit that you do or don't do affects way more people besides you and the person in that stroller. a lot of people, their whole reason for not getting these vaccines is because they believe some bullshit that's been completely disproved by every sane medical professional that your kid is not going to get autism from getting a vaccination. And if you think that having a kid on an autism spectrum is worse than having a potentially dead kid, fuck you. You shouldn't have kids to begin with.
I have two kids. So, and one of them is on the autism spectrum. So, A, fuck you, vaccinate your kids. Second, really? You'd rather have a dead kid than a kid like mine? Fuck you.
And the thing that bothers me, it's like you should not be getting your health advice from a blogger or an Instagram influencer or like a Facebook post. Like that is not where you should be getting your medical advice. You should be going to medical professionals and not going to one that is just going to be confirmation bias. Like, yeah, you're always going to find some licensed medical professional who's the outlier, who's going to agree with a lot of this crazy shit. But that doesn't mean that that is the person that you should be listening to. They do not have some magical unlocked secret that the majority of modern medicine is refusing to believe. Like, it's not that modern medicine is so corrupt and they're trying to, like, basically get over and make money on you by having you vaccinate your kids. They're trying to keep people alive, including themselves and their own kids. It's honestly mad.
It's so weird that you went and got stitches, though, like from a doctor. Like you could have just put like essential oils on it and it would have just like healed right up.
I could have just charged my crystals and then like placed them in the right, you know, circle around my hand and then let the moonlight hit.
If you had a jade egg in your yoni,
yes,
you would not have broken that glass.
Yeah. I bet if I did some oil pulling that would have cured my hand.
If you brush your teeth with charcoal.
Yes.
I think that's how it works.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. If I steamed my vagina,
your vagina hard enough, you can cure cancer. That's a fact. I read it on the internet.
And also, you'll have a wrinkle-free vagina, I suppose. I don't even understand what the steaming vagina thing is for. Still to this day.
I don't know. I like Shailene Woodley's thing where she's just like, I like to just go out and sun it. And I'm still trying to picture that. It's like, do you just like spread eagle to the sun? Like,
also, like, what about like, you can't put sunburn. You can't put sunblock down there.
It's not internal.
No.
It's external use only. It says so on the bottle.
Anyway, vaccinate your kids. This is bullshit. I mean, seriously, I just hate
I get so mad
when I hear that there's eradicated illnesses coming back. Like there was a mumps outbreak, I think, a year ago. Like this stuff should not be coming back. Like what's next? Like, you know, we're going to bring back polio because you don't want to vaccinate again. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand.
We're just like walking around in like the most modern time in the world. And it's just like some Dickensian drama.
Yeah, that's some like white privileged bullshit. I think we should take a break, and then when we come back, I think we should come back and play a couple rounds of Frack, Marry, Kill.
Agreed.
When we come back, so let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's get, you know, positive thoughts, happy thoughts, because we're back and we're gonna be happy, right?
So happy.
Totally doing like a 180. Let's play some Frack, Marry, Kill.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Hard same. Although I will say that MASH is also one of my favorite things ever. And MASH, we might have to find a way to do MASH.
Yes.
I think. Right? Absolutely. Yes. So, spoiler alert, we, you know, later on, I had a chance to talk to Lana Condor and I played Frack, Marry, Kill with her, but we're going to play Frack, Marry, Kill with the same one that she did. So I picked an all 80s Frack, Marry, Kill because she's weirdly has been doing a lot of 80s projects. Like when she was in X-Men, her character, it was 80s. To All the Boys I Loved Before, her character was obsessed with 16 Candles. And now Deadly Class, which is in sci-fi, it takes place in the 80s. So it just made sense to me, like, hey, let's do a Frack, Marry, Kill 80s edition. My favorite part is that she doesn't know shit about the 80s. So it's a very fun
That's
game.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I figured let's us play it. And then we can compare our answers.
Yes, because we are old.
Yeah, we're old. So we get all these references.
Yeah.
And also, I want to hear how other people would choose this, too. So
okay.
After you listen to this episode, you have to you know, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or wherever you want to find us. You can stop us in the street if you see us and tell us your answers to frack,
literally, marry, kill. We always want to know who you want to frack, marry, and kill.
Yeah.
Asked or not. Like, we just want to know.
Yeah, you just, like, come up to me and say it. Like, don't even say hi. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. So the first round are John Hughes films. So, Frack, Marry, Kill, John Bender from The Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or Jake Ryan from 16 Candles.
Okay, kill Bender because he was a real asshole, and I don't approve of his toxic bullshit and just negging Molly Ringwald the entire movie. Kill.
I don't know that I would kill John Bender because he was a product of his environment, but when you got past that bullshit, by the way, whenever I play this game, it's so telling as to the type of guys I date.
I don't have time.
When you get past that bullshit, he's actually not like a shitbag. He's actually kind of sweet. And also, he's hot. I mean, he has got the, you know, I like the whole like flannel shirt, you know, combat boot, long hair thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He might be a frack for me, to be honest.
I feel like there's no way he's that good at it.
I don't know. He might be surprising.
I don't know. He's so,
I mean, I'm willing to find out is what I'm saying.
Exhausting. Exhausting, I say. Frack Ferris. I just feel like he's got a carpe diem sensibility that I just want to try it out.
I think I'd marry Ferris.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because he's funny, which goes a long way. Stylish.
Very stylish.
Popular. Like, he's good with all different groups of people, which I appreciate that. I like people that can get along. You want your partner to be someone that you can be in any scenario with them, and you don't have to feel like you have to, like, keep them separate from certain groups of friends.
And let's be real, who doesn't want a sausage king?
Exactly. And I think that he's going to be the type of person that's going to come up with some, like, ridiculously genius, but also, I can't believe no one thought of this already, like, business idea and end up making a lot of money. And I feel like he'd be, like, fun. Not that I would ever want kids, but if I wanted kids, I feel like he would
be a fun dad.
If I accidentally get knocked up, or maybe if we, like, adopt a few. I'm not against adopting kids. So I think I would marry Ferris. He would keep shit interesting, and he would make me laugh. And I'd kill Jake Ryan because he's kind of boring.
He is. And but you know what? He's an investment. You marry Jake Ryan, you get his dad's money.
Yeah. But also Jake Ryan could be one of those guys. Like, I feel like Jake Ryan's the type of guy that peaks in high school.
Oh, definitely.
And then he ends up like owning a few used car dealerships, even though he's like comes from money. Like, he's going to do something that's really menial and doesn't take a lot of thought or effort. And he'd probably cheat on you with his secretary. I just feel like it would happen.
I would take his money and cheat on him with Carolyn, who deserved better than everything the movie gave her.
I mean, she was pretty shitty, but she also didn't deserve what happened to her.
She was apparently a good person. The movie tells us her brother's deaf and everyone loves her. And so, you know what? Like, she deserved better.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do another round. Ready?
Yes, please.
All right. This one's going to be 80s musicians.
Oh, okay.
So, Frack, Marry, Kill, Simon Le Bon, John Bon Jovi, or Prince. And these are all in their prime 80s versions, not clearly today because Prince is no longer with us. I would frack the shit out of Prince.
You have to frack Prince.
Oh, my God.
You can't marry Prince, though.
You can't marry Prince.
You can't
He's
marry
a Jehovah's
Prince.
Witness. Oh, I can't get down with that. But even you before he was a Jehovah's Witness, Prince. Yeah, you can't marry Prince.
But you frack Prince.
You frack Prince. I went to see him in concert a couple of years before he died. He came to Madison Square Garden, and he...
And you came at Madison Square Garden because you were watching Prince.
Listen, he, like, had sex with every single woman in Madison Square Garden simultaneously, and every man there knew it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So you frack, that is like a sexual energy that is very rare. And when the opportunity presents itself, you say yes, kind of like a Lenny Kravitz. Yeah. You say yes. If Lenny Kravitz just wants you to like use you and abuse you and lose you, you say yes to that.
And you say thank you.
And yeah.
Good
you say
day,
thank
sir.
You. You absolutely. So gosh. I would frack Prince. And I'd marry Simon Le Bon.
I think I'm going to marry Bon Jovi.
Okay.
I think I feel like he's a Jersey boy, right?
He's a Jersey boy. Yeah.
He's Italian.
he is Italian, which you would think just based on that, I would be in. And he plays guitar, and that's three for three with me. But
on a steel horse, I'd ride.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He used to take my spin class back in the day. And I'm not feeling the veneers. They're distracting for me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he just like was kind of awkward the way he moved on his spin bike. So yes, Simon Le Bon. I would marry Simon Le Bon because he actually still looks not bad. And he's never really been like, I've never really heard shitty things about him. That's my frack, marry, kill.
You'd be hungry like the wolf forever.
So you would kill Simon Le Bon?
I think I would have to kill Simon Le Bon. I'd be really sorry about it.
Yeah, I mean, Duran Duran is... I don't think they get enough credit for the music. I don't think Duran Duran gets enough credit for how good that band is. One more round, ready? This one she did not do because we didn't have time for it.
Right.
But I just think this is a good round, and I amused myself when I came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Famous chest hair from the 80s is the category. Okay. David Hasselhoff, Tom Selleck, or Paul Stanley from Kiss?
Are we marrying and fracking and killing just the chest hair or the people attached to it?
I mean, the people attached to it.
Okay.
So I feel like you marry Tom Selleck.
Can I marry and frack Selleck and kill everyone else? Because I don't care about anyone else.
That's the right answer, yeah. I feel like. But that's also the easy way out. So we have to.
I feel like Paul Stanley is probably the least... Or the most palatable member of KISS. If you're going to be forced to have someone from KISS, I mean, it might as well be Paul Stanley.
He was absolutely lovely when I interviewed them. He was very polite. I think marry Tom Selleck and frack Paul Stanley because David Hasselhoff is just... What do you say about David Hasselhoff? We've all seen the video of him drunk eating burgers, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like he's that guy that like took the fact that he was big in Germany as a singer as like... a real thing, I guess. I don't know. All right. Well, I think this was a very good palate cleanser to our previous segment.
This was literally exactly what
this is exactly what we needed.
Oh and my god! This is our version of steaming our vaginas. This is refreshing.
Absolutely. This is like a spa day. This is how we steam our vaginas.
Yeah.
This is our self care, guys. Frack, marry, kill.
I need to boil my vagina after I just had sex with Paul Stanley. But yeah.
We have said vagina so many times in this
episode.
And good.
I'm going to keep saying it. This is just badge cast now.
And with that, we will be right back with Lana Condor.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So everybody joining us now on Strong Female Characters, we have the one and only rising star, Miss Lana Condor. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for doing this. You have so much going on right now, which is insane.
it's been a fun time. I finally been able to get like half a day off, which was awesome.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's been amazing.
You're like, I got 4-hour break. It was fantastic. I got to like take a lunch break. So insane.
It's been great though. And you were just telling me about your dog. I just adopted a puppy.
What did you get? Oh my God, let's just talk about dogs for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I know, right? I adopted her in New York actually when we were promoting Deadly Class before it released. And I adopted her and she is she's a mutt, but they think she's like a bit of a hound mixed terrier. Yeah, she hasn't really found her voice yet, so she doesn't like bark yet. I've never had a pet before, but I'm realizing that the dog, they really take things very personally.
Oh yeah,
like this is their kingdom, and if you leave them, like even for 5 minutes. This is the worst thing you could do. This is the worst hurt you've ever done in your whole life. How could you?
Yeah.
It's very,
It's very cute. And it's also, it's so funny. Are you going to be able to like take her with you? Are you going to take her with you whenever you have to travel and stuff?
Well, that's my plan. Yeah, that's my goal. But I know that she's going to grow quite a lot. So right now as a puppy, I'm still able to kind of travel with her and she still fits in her carrier and everything. But we'll see as she gets bigger, she might just be like ginormous. I might not be able to travel with her as much, but that's definitely the goal. Yeah. Because I travel all the time and I basically live out of a suitcase. So it would be nice to have her there with me.
Yeah, in the we'll suitcase. Perfect. So you were just here. So where are you now getting ready? Like, are you in your beginning stages of pre-production to start shooting the sequel for To All the Boys I Loved Before? Or do you actually have a little bit of downtime?
We don't have a concrete start date yet. Mm-hmm. So, but I know that like, you know, they're writing the script and they're doing all like the pre-production type things right now. But in terms of my involvement, I think they don't want to tell me, they don't want to show me the script and they don't want to tell me when we start until like last minute possible, I think, just to kind of keep me on my toes and keep me fresh and excited for everything, which I'm like, I just want to see the script. But I know that Netflix and all the production companies that are involved are definitely starting to gear up for the new sequel, which I'm very excited about. But right now, actually, I'm gearing up to just kind of do the press for Alita, which is coming out on the 14th, which is really exciting.
So let's talk about Alita.
My next focus. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the project and like also how you got involved in it.
Yeah, it's funny. I shot Alita like maybe 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, maybe 2.5. So it's been a minute. And I got involved with it. Your average audition process. I went in similar to with Deadly Class. You know, I went in to audition for Alita for like pre-read, and then I went in to do an audition, and then they taped me, and then they sent my tape off to the producers in the studio to see if they liked it. And then I was really excited, of course, because I, you know, working with James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez is obviously a goal for really any actor, and so that initially was just so like I wanted to do it so badly to be able to work with these amazing filmmakers. And then they booked me on it, and I went and I shot that in Austin, Texas. And Robert Rodriguez, who directs it, he actually built the whole set in his back lot in his studio in Texas, in Austin, which was amazing. And it was a full immersion experience. He built the whole entire city in his back lot, and the set was just unbelievable. And it's based off of a Japanese manga, and it's about this girl, Alita, who is a cyborg, and it's when cyborgs and humans can coexist, and it's in the future, and she basically goes on this journey to figure out who she is and where she came from, and I play one of her friends in the movie. I play a human, which is awesome. So I didn't have to wear like any of the, cause we used a lot of motion capture.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the actors were in mocap or in, covered in green and black dots. But I was a human, so I got to be myself, which was cool. And I play Koyomi, and she basically is one of Alita's friends, and they go on a little adventure together. So the movie is incredible. I was fortunate enough to kind of get a little preview of it recently, and it blew me away. And it's been in post-production for a while.
Yeah.
And I completely understand why, because it's completely the CG and just every digital aspect of the movie is mind blowing. I mean, it's from the creators of Avatar. So the standard that Alita had to meet to kind of match up with Avatar, which is obviously just visually incredibly stimulating and nourishing based off of the CGI. They wanted Alita to be just like that, if not even more advanced in the way that we use special effects in film and television. So they really were in post and they worked it, and the final product is incredible. If you're a fan of sci-fi, anything CGI, anything special effects, it is a true experience to watch the movie. So I'm really excited for people to see it, and I'm just so happy to have been a part of it, because it's really going to be something special. So yeah, that's basically my rundown for it. And of course, I don't want to do any spoilers or anything because of the secretive nature of the project and the film workers involved. But it's definitely worth seeing in theaters. Definitely worth seeing in theaters on a big screen, preferably
like an IMAX.
I don't know. Do you like 3D?
You know,
yeah, like IMAX, like Dolby Theater.
I'm like weird with 3D. Like, I think it depends on the movie. Certain really? Movies, when I see them in 3D, I don't like it. But then, did you see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at all? Like, have you had time to see a movie in the past couple months?
No. Oh my God. Literally the only movie I've seen in like months besides on Netflix was Lolita.
So are you are like a fan of like comic books? Because I know you've done a lot of science fiction. You know, are you a fan of comic books, or do you just like, oh, if you're doing the movie, you'll like you'll read the source material type thing?
I am definitely a fan of comic books because I really like pictures. I love reading things.
You're like, I like pictures instead of words, so it's easier.
I love pictures.
So that's fine. You're like, I like pop-ups.
I know, right?
Do they make pop-ups? Pop-up movies? That'd be perfect. You do not need to be like really well-versed in Spider-Man whatsoever to like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It is so fucking gorgeous.
I know. I need to see it.
Yeah. And like that movie, I want to go see in 3D because it looks so insane. Like, it's seriously probably one of the most beautifully creative, stunning movies I've seen like in my entire life. The way the animation is in this movie, it's so incredible. So I think
is it still in theaters?
Yeah, it's still in theaters. So I mean, if you have like any type of flexibility during, like, I know you're about to gear up for press for Alita, but if you have any flexibility to like go see it, try to see it because it's so good and it's so well written that. Seriously, you really don't even need to be like a deep Spider-Man fan, and you're going to come out of that movie like such a Spider-Man fan. But it's just so beautiful, also.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You sold me. You sold me. I'm seeing it. I definitely, you know what movie I'm going to see today? Which is like super random, but my boyfriend is the biggest fan. I've never ever seen it, but Dragon Ball Z.
I'm not a Dragon Ball Z fan, but I heard that movie is really good.
Yeah. And my boyfriend is like, oh my God, I have to see it. Oh my God. And I don't know a single thing about Dragon Ball Z, but I'm going to do it for him. And I'm
like, going to be supportive.
I was like, this is my supportive effort.
Yeah. You can be a supportive girlfriend, get into Dragon Ball Z. But yeah. Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I heard really good things about it. Like it's supposedly is like the most successful and highest grossing anime movie that's ever been released in the country. So
what?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like,
huge.
Yeah, it's like really a big deal. But so does your boyfriend, does he get really excited about the fact that like you were in X-Men, like you're doing, you know, Deadly Class, which is based on a comic book. Like, does he get excited about this stuff or?
Oh yeah, he definitely gets excited for me because he is very supportive of my career and what I do. But I definitely think that he's a fan of X-Men and Deadly Class but I think that it's mostly he's just excited that I get to do these cool things. And I don't know if he even more I don't even know if he like watched X-Men before like did X-Men and then when I told him I was he's like, oh okay, I'll watch these movies. Yeah, he's excited for me, and I love doing things that are based off of like sourced material, graphic novels or novels or comic books, because it's like in the laziest sense, half of the work is done for you because the whole story is right there on the page.
Yeah, it's basically
right?
storyboarded so already. Yeah,
it's already storyboarded, and so it's hard to mess it up.
Right.
You know, because you have this template and you have it right in front of you, and if you do the work and you sit down and you read it, like I did with all the graphic novels for Deadly Class and for a lot of comics for X-Men and, of course, for to all the boys reading the books and everything. So you sit down and read it. Like, you got to be, you almost have to be dumb to mess it up. Because they're so amazing. These comics and graphic novels and books are so amazing, and they're so detailed that it takes, it's, you're, we're very lucky. You know, we're very, very lucky that we have kind of a Bible to refer to when we're doing these projects, which is really exciting. And one of the reasons why I absolutely love doing things based off of a book of some sort.
Yeah.
Because it's very helpful, you know, and I hope to be able to do it as long as people want me.
I think you're in a good position right now. So, like, I think you're okay. Like, I think you get to do it for a couple, at least a couple more minutes. I think you'll be allowed to do it.
A couple more minutes. Yeah. Okay. That's what I need. Just a couple more minutes.
So, I mean, like I said, like, you've done a lot of science fiction, you know, do you feel like there's more, especially being, you know, an Asian American woman, do you feel that there's more opportunity in genre like science fiction and fantasy? Or do you feel that, like, now, especially with people making more of a cognizant effort and actually there's a bigger conversation about the lack of, you know, Asian representation in media, do you feel like now there's more roles across the board, or do you feel like you tend to see more in science fiction fantasy, like, roles available?
I definitely think now there are a lot more roles available to Asian American actors in Hollywood. I definitely feel that, particularly after the past year that we've had, has really truly made a very visible change, at least to me. I'm noticing, and something that's also quite exciting is I'm seeing more jobs available where the leads, no ethnicity is written for those leads.
That's awesome.
So truly anyone can genuinely go out for it. I believe that writers are starting to write more characters that aren't solely based off of the way that they look, which is very exciting to me, because I think that there's so many stories that we can tell, right?
Yeah.
But I think that if the playing field is more even, that's really all that, you know, I can ask for, because I think, like, there are so many, there's just, like, I think it's important to tell so many different stories. And I think there's a lot of Asian American stories that I want to tell, but there's also a lot of just human stories I want to tell that I don't want to be based off of the way that I look. I'm seeing a lot more of those now, which is really, really exciting. But I do think that the sci-fi genre has always been a little bit ahead of the curve when it comes to representation and showing the world accurately the way it's depicted. Of course, like, comic books and graphic novels, they're very visual and they love color, right? And they love vibrancy. So the way they illustrate their graphic novels are colorful and gorgeous and realistic to what the world actually looks like, regardless of whether these people are, you know, cyborgs or aliens or mutants or, you know, have some sort of superpower. To me, and at least in my experience of the sci-fi world, it seems that these comic books and graphic novels and the genre in general have been kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to inclusivity and then showing all
diversity. Yeah.
I think it's really cool, and diversity. And I think it's about damn time that Hollywood is kind of catching up.
There, I know, right?
Doing it. And it's exciting, you know, it's really exciting. And I think something like Deadly Class is an exciting show because it's incredibly diverse without it really trying to be. Like, it just is how the world looks like. And something that I think is so amazing about Deadly Class is we're not trying to capitalize at all on, like, oh, look, we have our top five cast members are all people of color. Like, we're not trying to push, like, use that in any way that might seem disingenuous.
Right.
Like, that's just how it
like
is.
It's just exactly. It's just and organic and natural. Right. So you between, you know, there's not a lot of similarity between To All the Boys I've Loved Before and Deadly Class, but there is a slight connection there that, you know, both, you know, Lara Jean's obsessed with 80s movies, specifically 16 Candles. And then you're now playing a character in an 80s time, you know? So we have a game that we play, and we're going to see, you know, you have to have some 80s knowledge here. So first, like, how knowledgeable are you of the 80s, would you say?
An idiot. It's horrible.
All right, we'll see. Okay, we'll see if you can do this. Go ahead.
I've played, you know, this is something, I don't, the 80s is stalking me because X-Men was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Lara Jean Love.
Yeah.
The movies from the 80s. Now I'm in Deadly Class, which is in the 80s. And you know what? It's my own damn fault for not, like,
paying better attention. Yeah. I mean, you might have to, because it seems like that's kind of where people like to stick you now, is in the
80s. They do. Oh, my God. And you know what? I've had all these different quizzes about the 80s, and I fail every single one, but I keep refusing to learn. So maybe this is my intervention.
This may be. But this is not going to be a quiz, though. So have you seen, like, any John Hughes movies besides, like, 16 Candles? Like, have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No.
Do you?
No, I suck.
No, it's okay. It's okay. All right, we could still do this though. But you might have to, like, pull up some images on your Google, okay? Because it's really just image based. Okay. So we play a game called Frack, Marry, Kill, and it's based Frack, Marry, Kill. So Frack is
what's Frack?
It's so there's a show, Battlestar Galactica, that used to be on the Sci-Fi Network. It's a really big science fiction show. And they used the word frack in place of the word fuck. so that was their version of that curse.
Same thing.
Right. So frack, marry, we call it frack, marry, kill because, you know, that's why. So yeah. We're going to play frack, marry, kill with you. Me and you are going to play this. Or you're going to play this. Okay. And here's your first round. And if you have to Google image search, you can totally cheat and do that. That's fine. So your three choices for frack, marry, kill are John Bender from The Breakfast Club. Do you want to Google him? Ferris Bueller.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
Or Jake Ryan from 16 Candles.
I guess. Oh my God. Wait, who was the third one that you said?
Jake Ryan. That's the character from 16 Candles that, like, Lara Jean's obsessed with. Jake Ryan is like the rich, like, jock, like, all-American popular guy. Ferris Bueller also comes from a family that does well, but he's kind of like the, like, you know, he's like a Zach Morris type, like, cut school, trying to get one over on everybody. And John Bender is the bad boy that comes from kind of like a trashy family, but he's hot.
But he's hot. Okay.
Right, but he's hot.
I want to marry Jake Ryan.
Okay.
He's cute.
He is cute.
I could look at that face all day.
There you go.
I want to kill John Bender.
And frack Ferris Bueller.
Wait, no, not frack Ferris Bueller. No, wait. I have a new one.
Okay.
Marry Ferris Bueller.
Okay.
Frack Jake Ryan.
And kill John Bender.
And kill John Bender. That's my final answer.
That's your final answer. See, that wasn't so hard. You were able to do this 80s one.
No.
All right, we're going to do one more 80s themed one. So you might have to Google image search.
Okay.
So Frack, Marry, Kill, Simon Le Bon. He was the lead singer of Duran Duran.
Mm-hmm.
John Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Or Prince.
Oh, God. Okay.
Or Prince.
Oh, God. Okay. Shit. I'm trying to get, like, a proper visual of, like, when they were younger. Okay. So right now, so we're doing when they were in the 80s.
Yes,
okay.
80s version. Well, yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I love that you just said ew.
Oh my God. Okay. It was Simon Le Bon, Prince, and who was the other one that you said?
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well. Oh, Lord. Oh my God. Oh God.
I'm gonna guess you it's a picture of John Bon Jovi you're looking at.
Okay. Shit. You know what? No. Okay. No. Okay. I'm gonna. This sucks. sucks. Okay.
That's the whole point.
This is like really rough. Okay. I'm looking at like those little like those mustaches that curl. What are they called?
Like a twirl mustache, like a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, I'm looking at twirling mustaches of Simon LeBond. Okay, no.
Wait, Simon LeBond didn't have a mustache.
What? No, there's pictures of him when he's older. Oh. I think, if I'm looking at the right person.
I mean, I gotta see.
Okay, you know what? From Duran Duran.
Yeah. Now I'm Googling. I don't see any pictures of him with a mustache. Oh, wait, I see that picture. Yeah, that's not, don't look at that
you
one.
See the one?
Yeah, I see it. Look at the 80s version Simon LeBond when he was like pretty. When he had like that pretty.
You know what? I'll kill Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Marry Prince and frack Simon?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Your last thing, if you breaking into Hollywood, if you had any advice for Asian American actors or actresses that are listening that want to get in the door, what advice would you give them?
That want to get in the door.
Yeah. So for any Asian Americans.
My first advice would be that this is your time and it's an exciting time. And so there's no better day to start breaking into Hollywood than today, and to just do it and to not listen to the noise and to keep your head down and work really hard. And don't let people tell you, well, you know, it's really hard out there for Asian American actors, because it is, but it's also generally just hard for actors in general. So just don't listen to that. And do it because you love it, and don't listen to anyone saying anything about the way that you look, because they're dumb. And I would also say, in a very tangible way, I would say go to a lot of acting classes. Find an acting class that works for you and start going to them to brush up on your skills, because there's nothing worse than going into a room when you're unprepared or you're too green.
Yeah, that's good advice.
That's what I would go with, and then take your headshots, I guess. But acting class is the most important thing. Yeah.
Awesome. No, I love it. That's awesome advice. And thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. And I'm really excited for Alita to come out.
So every week we like to honor, I guess is the word we're going to use. Yeah, we'll go with honor and celebrate, you know, just truly useless men. And that is a little thing we like to call the useless male of the week. And this week, no male was more useless than Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. Ralph Northam, in his 1984 yearbook, he appeared perhaps in an image where there is a person in blackface and a person in a Ku Klux Klan hood. He said that he was that. He apologized. And then he said, wait, JK, I believe now and then that I am not either of the people in this photo. Saying that he doesn't believe that he'd ever worn a KKK robe or, you know, been drunk enough to forget that that happened. That was not me in that picture, he said. That was not Ralph Northam. Okay. But here's the thing. He did admit that he one time darkened his face, or as they call it, blackface, to look like Michael Jackson during a dance contest. And when he was asked if he could still moonwalk, he looked at his wife and she had to literally tell him, like, don't do that. This ends so badly for you. She said, inappropriate circumstances, which is the most tired wife thing I've ever heard in my life. So congratulations, Ralph. You're useless. Now, the flip side of the useless men is the Shiros. And this week, our Shiro is Rachel True. Rachel True, of course, one of the stars of The Craft. But being the least white star of The Craft, she tends to not get invited to conventions. She finally put them on blast, saying, "I think it's interesting these conventions are booking Nev, Firuza, and Robin all together, but excluding me. Sounds about white." Yep, sure is. And she said that happened in the press junkets when the movie came out, too. But here's the thing. It's 20 years later, and there is absolutely no excuse. That movie is literally about a group of four girls, and to disclude one quarter of the movie who happens to be the black one, yeah, that's some white bullshit. So good for Rachel for calling it out. We are so proud to have her just in the world. She was the true hero of the craft, and she is our Shiro of the week. Thank you, Rachel.
So thank you very much to Lana Condor for taking time out of her super, super busy schedule to talk to us. If you are listening, leave us some love on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find us on social media at Sci-Fi Fangirls or at Sci-Fi Fangirls Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Right?
Cher's losing blood again. We got to go, guys.
We got to go. I don't know where I am anymore. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheCherness and keep up with my disgusting hand.
You can follow me on Twitter at CourtEnlow on an Instagram at CourtneyEnlow. No blood. No blood on my Instagram.
None. But no. To be fair, I do put a lot of dog pictures on my Instagram. So it kind of, it tips the scale in the good way.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the Cher's instant presence.
Yes, that's exactly how that song goes. And until next week.
Eat like a girl.